Voices serves as the megaphone for individuals who have endured transformational change. By highlighting trials and triumphs, our desire is to create a safe space for pivotal conversations, which in turn will deepen the story and provoke hope for you, our listeners. As you may know, change is never easy, but it is inevitable. You are not alone in what you're facing. Your transformation is possible, purposeful, and now. And here's Erin Wiggum, founder and managing director of New You, with this week's guest.
Welcome to another edition of New Voices. My name is Erin Wiggum, and I am the managing director of New You. Also, I serve here as your host of New Voices. We have a special guest with us today. This guy here, he's my friend, my brother. We've had many of long conversations over the few years that we've known each other. And he was one of the first people when I moved to Tulsa to welcome me to the Tulsa area. We've had some basketball conversations and, you know, all types of conversations about company growth and revenue strategies and all types of things. But this guy right here, you're in for a true treat. He is on a blazing trail right now. Brilliant thought leader. And what I love about him is that he's a man of integrity. I know him to be a man of integrity. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to come through. This is my friend, my brother. I'm so glad to share this platform with you today. None other than the CEO of Path, my friend Chandler Malone. Welcome, Chandler.
Erin, thanks so much for having me, man. And, you know, I can say all the same things, you know, about you and just the character and the person you are. And so super happy to be on here, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's dig in. I start every conversation with, tell us the Chandler Malone story. You could start wherever you want, going back to Dallas or, you know, your hoop story. Tell us the Chandler Malone story.
Yeah. I guess we'll start off, you know, in Dallas, play super competitive basketball my entire life. In middle school was flying on private planes to, you know, playing AAU tournaments. Had, you know, the whole ESPN ranking and profile in high school. Went on to play college ball. And I guess the thing that I'll say that I'll take away from just those basketball experiences, you know, in youth, was, you know, I had a lot of friends who, you know, friends were, you know, their parents went on to be super successful, build companies, you know, sell them for billion-dollar exits, right? Also, I have friends where, you know, parents, you know, weren't around, you know, or, you know, maybe my parents were buying, you know, peanut butter and jelly, you know, and bread and eggs, you know, for folks. And I think seeing those things, you know, as a part of my experience growing up at a really early age has really just given me an insight and perspective in the world. And it's really just, you know, made my lens focused on how can I create pathways for economic mobility for folks? Because typically when I look at, you know, my friends, you know, when I was in elementary school and middle school, their life outcomes are almost directly correlated towards their parents' socioeconomic status more so than anything. And so then ended up going to school at Washington University in St. Louis. Started my first business there, started an events company, spent some time working in the venture capital space, launched my first mobile app there, you know, as well, before moving to Tulsa, Oklahoma, meeting Erin, working with the Atento Capital team, you know, where, you know, invested in some tech startups, and then launched my first company in the workforce development space called Boot Up. We raised a couple million dollars from investors. To date, have helped over 3,000 people get their first tech jobs. Upskilling them from retail roles for technical roles. You know, have worked with top companies like JP Morgan Chase, Best Buy, Home Depot, Dell Technologies, just to name a few. And, you know, during my time at Boot Up, you know, basically have been so focused on, you know, how can I continue to build tools, products, pathways for folks who, you know, are hungry for more in life to make it easy for them to be able to actually go get more in life. And so, you know, during my time at Boot Up, met, you know, a friend and, you know, mentor of mine named Chris Gray, launched a company called Scholly. They've helped over 5.5 million individuals secure over $100 million in scholarship funding for college. Chris recently sold his company Scholly to Sallie Mae, one of the largest exits ever for any Black founder and the largest exit ever for a Black founder within the ed tech space. And so we recently launched a new company together called Path that's basically an AI career development platform where we've got a career mentor and a skills trainer. And we're basically just focused on leveraging AI to give people access to the information, the tools and technology they need to be able to build the lives that they want for themselves. And so, you know, wanted to try to, you know, condense everything down, you know, real short there, but you know, super excited to be here with you, man.
That was probably one of the most efficient ones I've seen when people took you to this timeline, right? Yeah. Let's go back to your Dallas days, on the your upbringing. You know, you talked a lot about sports, and you know, first of all, who's your favorite player? Like who were you modeling your game after?
Yeah. So I'll say, you know, as a smaller guard myself, you know, Chris Paul and his, you know, New Orleans days was definitely a treat of mine to watch. But I'll say that I've always just been a fan of just like those top competitors, you know. And so, you know, you look at guys like, you know, during my, you know, generation in my era, like Kobe and LeBron, you know, who basically were just like the penultimate competitors for such a long, you know, period of time. And I feel like I've always just been able to draw a lot of inspiration from seeing greatness, you know?
Okay. Okay. And so when you were in these tournaments in AAU, did you play with any people who were now in the league, or have you seen that kind of matriculate?
Oh yeah. You know, play with a guy named Julius Randle, who's been the leading scorer for the Knicks a couple of years now. Play with a guy named Luke Kornet, who gets some pretty good minutes for the Celtics. Marcus Smart, who played with the Celtics for a while. You know, now is at the Memphis Grizzlies, played against a number of guys too. You know, think about guys like Justin Jackson, Kelly Oubre, Norman Powell, just to name a few. So, definitely playing at that really high level, at a young age, definitely also just kind of like wired my mind towards whatever I was doing. You know, kind of having a desire to do it at the highest level. So,
yeah. And so how is that dovetailed into your experience as a founder now, like the competitiveness and the level of rigor of playing at that level to now competing, what you're saying, with billion-dollar exit companies, with, you know, these growth funds that you're talking to, with, you know, private equity funds that you may be talking to. Like, how can you make a correlation between the two levels of competition?
Oh yeah. You know, I think one thing I've learned is that in the business world, if you view things competitively versus collaboratively, you kind of hamstring yourself a little bit. Yeah. But just that desire and that drive and that intrinsic motivation that you have to have as a competitor in sports, you have to have in business as well.
Right.
You know, I think building anything from scratch is incredibly difficult. That's why it's like over 90% of startups fail, you know, because of how difficult it is. But you look at those things that make you successful in sports, right? It's like doing the off season workouts, you know, 3 months before the season starts. Those are the things that help you in the fourth quarter in the playoffs, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, I look at, you know, building a business now and, you know, doing the customer discovery, right? The stuff that's not sexy, that's not going to make you money, that, you know, maybe comes months before you ever put a product out, right? It's like taking those steps, right, before you actually get to, you know, the moment of generating revenue or the moment of raising capital, right? Or the moment of hitting that game-winning shot, right? It just shows you that, right, like there's a level of preparation that has to be done, and no matter what you do, if you want to excel.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love what you're saying about keeping the fire, the desire, the passion, but being more collaborative than competitive. Yep. I love the way you're framing that. Because it is necessary in business. Businesses succeed by working together. Typically, it's not about how do we partner? And so many businesses have grown by way of merger, right? Like we're better together than we are competing against one another. Now, you're probably always going to have your Pepsi and Coke, your Cadillac and Lincoln, you know, Mercedes and BMW. You're probably always going to have like your this or your that, right? However, and that competition is necessary, but collaboration, especially as you're starting off the ground, that the power of collaboration is so much more valuable when you are taking flight, when you can actually see how can we work together to make an impact that we couldn't make individually, right?
Yeah.
With all that we have. So that's a great point that you bring up. So when you're at Wash U, So apparently you were a good student as well as a good basketball player. If you got into Wash U, you know, very decorated school. And so you're at Wash U, you're playing ball. What was it like being a student athlete?
Yeah, it was super difficult, for sure.
Yeah.
But I will say that, you know, again, it definitely just like opened, you know, me up. Right. And so, you know, for example, I was able to find other opportunities on campus and mm-hmm. even just like uncover my, you know, interest in entrepreneurship and in technology, right, through people mm-hmm. that I met, you know, from, you know, the basketball team, from my teammates. And so, you know, I started that events business my sophomore year, you know, and we talk mm-hmm. about just, you know, kind of like difficult decisions, right? Mm-hmm. The first event that my events business hosted was the same day as a basketball game that I had that was in Memphis, Tennessee. So I couldn't be mm-hmm. present, you know, for my company's wow. first event. Okay. And this game in Memphis, Tennessee, we're playing against a team where their starting point guard, I had scored my career high against in high school, you know?
Okay.
And so, you know, we're sitting here in this game in Memphis when I'm at Wash U and I didn't get in the game at all. Right. You know, playing against a guy that, you know, I had a lot of success against.
Yeah.
And, you know, my business is basically, you know, opening its doors for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't quit from the basketball team right then and there, you know, in that moment. Yeah. But that was really what planted the seed in my mind that let me know, like, look here, you know, basketball is not what's going to put food on the table for me and create a living mm-hmm. and life for myself. I feel like it's taken me so far in terms of access and exposure and life lessons, but you know, I've got like a real business here that's making money and I need mm-hmm. to be focusing my time and energy on that. And so basically after my sophomore year, I hung up basketball and basically just fully focused on, you know, the things that I was building.
Wow. Wow. Can you talk about the pressure, especially at such young age, the pressure of having to make this decision of letting go of something that you love and finding a new love or falling in love with something else, right? Can you talk about as a man, like how did you grapple with that? You're still developing as a person. You don't know if this is really going to go to the moon or not. You know, you can play ball. You know that you're seeing guys that you've played against go to the league and, you know, get contracts or whatever. So if it can happen for them, it can happen for you, right? Or maybe you play overseas or, you know, you still have that, but you betting on yourself to let go of something you love to find a new love. Can you talk about that, that quandary?
Yeah, I think there have been times where I've made really difficult decisions in my life and I've been a bit naive as to everything that's going into it. And it's actually yeah. easier for me to make the decision.
To make the decision. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, I'll say, you know, from that business, right, the first year of that business, you know, my business partner and I made more money than what, you know, we would have made basically taking any, you know, entry level, you know, job right out of school. Right. And yeah. so, you know, as I'm thinking about what's next for me in life, you know, mm-hmm. I have something like tangible in front of me that's like showing me like, hey,
you could do this.
There is like, there is a path here. And I yeah. think as well, like, you know, some of those things from playing sports early on in life and like having a level of success, right? Like that mm-hmm. built my level of just like intrinsic, like self-confidence. Right.
Okay.
And so, you know, then also having success really early on in the business, just like further built that level of confidence. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I think that there was a bit of naivete, you know, there that yeah. just, you know, yeah. came in and like, I don't know how difficult entrepreneurship is going to be just as a life, you know? Yeah. But at the same time, it was like, I feel like I had had enough things where I could look at myself in the mirror and say, you know what, if I really apply myself, if I really work hard, you know, yeah, there'll be some bumps in the road, but I'm used yeah. to that. But I know yeah. that I can do this if I really fully apply myself.
Yeah.
And I think that in general, it can be hard to say, oh, hey, I'm stepping into something that I don't have full visibility on. Mm-hmm. but I know that if I apply myself, I can succeed. But at the end of the day, you look at anyone who's done like really anything special with their lives, anything mm-hmm. special for their families or for their communities, yeah. right? There's always that period of taking that leap into the unknown and basically yeah. just believing in yourself, believing in God, believing in your mm-hmm. family, believing in the people that you got around you, you know, to yeah. really support you through that time.
Yeah, no, 100%, man. So what, junior year, right? You are now fully a entrepreneur. Well, you know, you're still in school, but you're an entrepreneur. Did you have any, were you ever drawn to go back to the coach and say, can I just lace them up one more time? Like, can I got 10 more points in me. Like, you know, any you ever fight with that at all? Or not a homecoming game or no?
Not really. Okay. And I'll say that basketball is a great part of my life and it brings me so much joy now, you know, to mm-hmm. continue to be able to play, you know? And mm-hmm. so like, I love it so much. But once I went down this angle of like trying to like start, build and grow businesses, mm-hmm. I found basically like a new thing that I could just fully dive into.
That's good.
And then, you know, around my junior year, that was when I got out of just entrepreneurship and really mm-hmm. starting to get into technology entrepreneurship, right?
I see.
And so, you know, I majored in American culture studies. I don't know how to code. I'm not a designer, right? I don't have any technical skills. And right. so really at that point, I'm like, okay, I'm in entrepreneurship. Now, how do I kind of finesse myself into this specific niche lane of entrepreneurship? Because mm-hmm. this is really where I want to be an expert in, and this is where I really want to build my life in.
Okay. Wow, that's good. So you come to Tulsa, right? And we're here in Tulsa, and that's when we meet Tinto Capital. All paths through Tulsa cross or by way of Mike Bosch. So we really you know, salute the Mike Bosch for attracting all of us. Anybody I met here in Tulsa, they came by way of Mike Bosch, right? So he's like Route 66, right?
Literally.
You spent time as an investor at Atento, and then you got that first investment from Atento, correct?
Yep.
And so can you talk about that? What did it feel like to get your first check of support and from a place that like you've also worked deal flow? And now you're actually a part of that deal flow. Well, like, talk about that. How did that feel? Did you feel accomplished or afraid or overwhelmed or perplexed? Like, share about how you felt.
Yeah. You know, first, before I get all the way into that, I want to give a thank you to just everyone. Like, want to give a huge shout out to Mike, obviously, for just seeing me, meeting and, you know, believing in me after not knowing each other for super long. Also a huge shout out to Will for just, you know, having like very like open arms, you know, to
Will
me.
Gray,
you know,
that's the guy.
Yep. As I joined the team. And then also I want to give a big thank you to Derek and Felicia Hatcher who hosted the Black Tech Weekend in Tulsa the week
to lead
that
up
I met.
To that.
Yeah. The week that I met Mike and, you know, also want to thank, you know, Candace Matthews Burkeen also for introducing me to Mike. Right. Like there were so many things that kind of like led to this moment that I don't want to like leave any of the humans that, you know, kind of led to it out. And then, you know, the country was in a really difficult place in time. And, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, things are in a much better place now. But, you know, this was really, you know, right after, you know, the George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor situations just had all happened back to back to back, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was an entrepreneur in town named James Milloway. He's the founder and CEO of Zero Card. It's a health insurance company, a health insurance tech company. And Jim basically reached out to me and he was like, look, man, you know, I'm not black, but I want to do whatever I can to support, you know, black technology entrepreneurs in Tulsa. Like, let me know what I can do to support. And, you know, when we had a very initial product out, you know, that was built out by a college student, right? And, you know, no real revenue, you know, just like a little bit of user traction, right? Jim believed in me enough to invest and, you know, introduced me to a number of individuals, including Sanjay Meshri in Tulsa, including Frank Murphy in Tulsa. And then also, including Bert Holmes, the founder of Quick Trip as well. And so, you know, that, you know, kind of like initial support, you know, that they gave me meant the world. Right.
Wow.
And it was like, I knew, right, myself, how hard I was going to go, how much I was going to apply myself, how hard I was going to work, the insight that I had, you know, into the opportunity, but actually being able to convey and articulate that to others is a very, very difficult thing to do. And I'm thankful that I had an opportunity to do good work, right? You know, for Atento, in front of Atento, to kind of speak to myself and the level of passion and intensity that I was going to attack the opportunity with that, you know, could shine a light on me in a way that I couldn't even articulate, you know, myself. I will say when, you know, those first checks hit the account, I was happy for sure. Yeah. But it was really just a feeling of
it's
like heightened awareness. Yes.
Yes.
I have to lock in and, you know, yes, this is a great opportunity, But I also have never had anything like this difficult, this serious, this real, you know, right. to ever, you know, kind of, you know, be responsible for ever in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the pressure of, and we'll just touch on this for a minute, the pressure of being I'll call you a serial entrepreneur, if that's all right, yeah. of being a serial entrepreneur like this and pivoting from idea to idea, leveraging your network, still having a deal flow, you know, and restarting again. Like, you talk about the pressure of that and yeah. How do you personally deal with it?
Yeah. I feel like in general life, you're faced with pressure, and it's just like, what type of pressure, what type of, you know, uncomfortability are you most yeah. comfortable with? You yeah. know, and for example, right, it's like we look over the past 2 years and the layoffs in the technology industry have been absolutely yeah. crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally been like historic in terms of, you know, percentages of people that have been laid off, like akin to basically like the .com crash, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, for myself, like, I feel like I had not been in the workforce while an event like that had ever taken place. But right. I was definitely very acutely aware that these things happen, you know, mm-hmm. and can happen any day. But mm-hmm. I also have a high level of belief in myself, right? You know, and mm-hmm. we kind of talked about that, you know, earlier.
Right.
And so, you know, there's the pressure of, you know, wanting to build yourself and, you know, build things for your family, build things for your community, you yeah. know, working outside of an entrepreneurial context when you have less control over the situation. And there's the pressure of being the person who has more control over the situation. I will always choose the pressure of being the person who has more control over the situation.
Right.
Because yeah. I know if I have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go get something done, I will wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get right. it done. You know,
yeah.
I know if I need to call 1,000 people to find the right person, I will go mm-hmm. call those 1,000 people. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, it's a little bit harder to still have that level of certainty, you know,
yeah.
when I'm not, you know, kind of like the last, you know, call,
yeah.
you know?
Yep.
And the other thing that I'll say is, you know, life is really, really short, you know? And mm-hmm. so, to be able to have the opportunity, right, to be building things that I think are meaningful to the world mm-hmm. and meaningful to other people. And like, just by nature of that, meaningful to myself is an incredible privilege, right? There are so yeah. many people who go through their entire lives and they feel so happy and they feel so blessed and they have very little agency and autonomy around what they spend their time working on in terms of, you know, how they, you know, provide for themselves, provide for their families. Yeah. I'm in a situation where I have been able to have a vision for the world,
mm-hmm.
get the resources to basically go create that vision. And then it's basically just on me to execute, you know? And so again, it's like, yes, there's a level of pressure, but there's also an incredible, just like level of like privilege and blessing, yeah. right? Yeah. To be able to be in a space where you can see something that you want for the world and have the resources to go be able to like basically try to bring it to fruition.
Yeah. No, that's great. And then, you know, I think when you talk about that pressure and you say like, there is this, there's different types of pressure, you know, what, you know, I almost kind of coin it as like, there's pressure and there's stress. Right. And so, pressure gives you energy. Stress takes your energy. And so when they both do the same, like they both can look the same. But if you're thinking about like water coming through a pipe, you need pressure for the water to come through the pipe. But when it's too much pressure, it becomes stress, right? And that stress causes the pipe to fracture. So like, you know, I think you're saying this perfectly, like being able to understand how, you know, if you're in a stressful situation or a pressure situation, and then being also then to delineate like, but if I'm in the driver's seat of this, with that pressure also comes privilege. And so like, I'm not at the mercy of, I'm in the driver's seat of, and that privilege looks very different. Right. Yeah. So I love the way that you're framing that. I just got two more questions and then we'll do a call to action. Let's get to Path. Right. So you launched Path here and, you and your co-founder and, let's talk about like, what made you really want to put your energy into this and you know, segue into this particular yep. strategy. And how do you see, you talked about like solving problems in the world. How do you see a Path being one of those solutions to the world?
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like AI has gotten a lot of buzz, you know, over the past, mm-hmm. you know, year or so, year and a half, maybe. But obviously, like, AI had been a part of our lives for so long, right? Through, you know, the timelines and the For You pages on the social media platforms, right? You know, through, you know, the recommendations on the streaming services, right?
Mm-hmm.
But basically last year, the ability for individuals to use AI, that barrier of entry went down significantly. Mm-hmm. Using AI basically became as simple and as straightforward as integrating an API from another, you know, platform into your software. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if, you know, folks have a software that, you know, maybe sends out, you know, an automated text message, right? They're mm-hmm. integrating with, you know, a platform called Twilio, right? And it's like,
mm-hmm.
there are companies that make it easy for you to do complex tasks by creating APIs for your software to plug into. And so basically OpenAI, you know, Meta, you know, Anthropic, you know, and a number mm-hmm. of these other companies basically went and made, you know, AI accessible through APIs. And so, you know, with that being said, right, like, what are some of our biggest problems in education? And, you know, to take a step back there, I've been looking at some of our biggest problems in education and looking at alternative education for the greater part of the past 4 years now, you know?
Okay.
And so one of the things that I've seen, right, is being able to provide that level of personalization that is needed mm-hmm. in an educational experience to individuals at scale. And so, mm-hmm. you know, there are so many of these alternative education companies that, you know, launched with great missions, but they really struggled to deliver on their promises because they couldn't deliver personalization at scale.
Right.
You know, and at the end of the day, we look at the world that we're in today. And industry is outpacing our major institutions, right? Like, you remember the big crypto wave that, you know, happened, you know, right around 2020, and that's, you know, making a really strong comeback, right? Mm-hmm. You look at, you know, like, all these new AI tools, right? You even just look at the emergence of, you know, all of the jobs, you know, in renewable energy, right? And mm-hmm. our legacy institutions, right? Our, you know, secondary institutions, you know, and even like our post-secondary institutions, our colleges and universities, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, they don't really have the trainings to help you learn for the most in-demand roles and opportunities in the world. Not to mention, they're not cost-effective, you know, for individuals. And they also, you know, add to this, you know, lack of being able to provide personalization at scale.
Yeah.
And so for us at PATH, we've basically just built this AI skills trainer and career mentor, right? The skills mm-hmm. trainer does, you know, what, you know, I think the name says, and that
mm-hmm.
you list any skill that you're looking to learn, and it will spit out a curriculum for you based mm-hmm. upon the degree of expertise that you would like to learn that subject at.
Okay.
And then you're able to go through, take assessments at the end of each module. Those assessments take how you scored, and they begin to refactor the actual content to you in a way that you're going to best be able to retain it, right? And so we talk about this personalization at scale. We can mm-hmm. create a curriculum for you around any skill set, and then we can deliver it to you in your best modality of learning. And so that's our skills trainer. And then our career mentor, we've basically just built out a chatbot that we've trained with thousands of conversations with career counselors, college advisors, sports mm-hmm. coaches, even therapists. So it knows to ask you qualifying questions to mm-hmm. understand more about you as an individual before actually giving you expert advice. Once it gives you that expert advice, you can go to the skills trainer, learn whatever skills you need to learn. And then from there, we've got tools that create applicant tracking system optimized resumes, because mm-hmm. right now, 80% of people who are applying for jobs get vetted out by applicant tracking systems. And, you know, my philosophy is that if you get vetted out because you don't have the qualifications for the job, that's fine. Mm-hmm. If you get vetted out because you don't have the right formatting or the right keywords, but you've got the qualifications, there's an issue with that, and we can solve that. And that's basically what we built that tool to do. So once you've gained the skills, we help you actually get your artifacts together. Then once you have your artifacts together, we use natural language processing to rip some of those pieces out of your resume and then connect you with jobs that are a best fit for you. And so, you know, once we actually connect you with those jobs, right, you get your foot in the door, you get the interview. We also have an AI interview prep tool that basically simulates questions that you'll get, gives you feedback on your answers, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with PATH, basically what we're doing is we're leveraging AI at every single feature point to basically improve and enhance individuals' education to employment journey. And, you know, you talked about, you know, kind of just how I want to be building solutions that are helpful for people. At the end of the day, if the fastest growing job opportunities are ones that people can't go get college degrees for, right? Then folks still need to have a way to be able to learn those skills, right?
Skills.
Folks still need to be able to find ways to be able to position themselves in front of those employers to actually be able to get the jobs once they've gotten those skills, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for us, this is just another tool that's really built on focusing on folks who want better for themselves and giving them what they need to basically be able to have access to that.
Thank you. That's good, Chandler. Okay, so last question, and then we'll do a call to action. What was a time, or was there a time in your life where you had to hold on to hope? You didn't know if you were going, you know, be able to pay your staff, or, you know, or maybe as a personally, like, you were in a dark time and you were trying to figure it out. You didn't really have a path, no pun intended.
Yeah.
What was a time in your life, and you just share that in whatever way you like?
Yeah. Man, I'm just thinking about which one I want to use, because there have been, you know, a number of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, I'll look at, you know, for example, you know, early in 2022. You know, I went through a divorce. It was very difficult, you know, and I think that, you know, there were a lot of things that were kind of like core to who I was as a person and like core to my identity. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of those things that were core pieces, you know, to my identity, were kind of like gone, you know, after that. And it was like, you know, we can kind of go one of two ways, right? We can continue to sulk and, you know, feel sorry for ourselves.
Right.
You know, we can, you know, get mad at the world and talk about things that aren't fair, or we can look within, you know, and basically be like, okay, this didn't go the way that you wanted it to go, but what can you learn from it? How can you be better from it? And what parts of your identity that you feel like, you know, you don't have anymore, right, aren't serving you? And what parts of your identity that you feel like you don't have anymore are actually still core to who you are and core to what you do? You know, and I look at just like the work of my hands, right, with Boot Up, right? And this, you know, happened, you know, pretty shortly after we raised a pretty significant financing round. But before we had, you know, picked up, you know, some of our largest, you know, enterprise customers, before we had launched, you know, some of our products that, you know, touched, you know, the most users. And so like having that happen at that period in time was very difficult for me. But being able to look at the rest of my life and say, like, I have all of these blessings here. I have all of these opportunities to show who I am, show what matters to me, be the person in the world that I want to be still every day. I need to focus in and lean in on those things rather than putting all of my energy and all of my focus into the things that didn't go well or the bad things that happened to me. You know, definitely went a really long way. And I'd say, you know, just in general, to summarize that point, you know, going through rough things, I think, you know, focusing on what you can do and yourself rather than focusing on the things that are quote unquote happening to you. It goes a very, very, very long way.
Yeah. Wow. That's great, Chandler. So how can people reach you? How can they follow Path, or, you know, connect with Path? And what's a call to action for our listeners?
Yep, definitely. So, you know, I'm on all social media at cmalone.ai. Or Chandler Malone. And then our company's website is www.yourpath.ai. And so, you know, for anyone who's, you know, looking to pick up a new skill, anyone's looking to break into a new career path, you know, anyone who's, you know, working with large groups of individuals who, you know, still fall into one of those two, you know, demographics, I definitely encourage you, you know, to visit the site at www.yourpath.ai. You know, or shoot me a note on any social platform as well.
Cool. Thank you so much, Chandler. This has been great. I really appreciate the time, and so proud of your success, man. Enjoy that Miami weather, and hope to see you soon, man. Let's break bread and get connected. All right.
Yep. Most definitely. Much love, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening to New Voices. We are so excited for what is coming up in your life. Please make sure you follow us on social media. We are also follow New You, which is newyoutulsa.com. And our IG is New You Tulsa. Yeah, there you go. IG, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of New Voices. Visit our website at www.newuunlimited.com. That is newuunlimited.com. Follow us on social media at New You Unlimited on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And a special thank you to our producer, Jesse Ulrich. If you're looking for self-improvement, join our programs for personal and professional development. New You is a way for diverse talent to imagine, discover, and actualize a 2.0 version of yourself. Bring your future into focus.